Even though I wrote the following, what I'm about to read is based on a true story. There was a man that was going throughout the community testifying to the miracle-working power of Jesus. This man was not an evangelist, and yet his story was maybe more effective than from those that preached behind a pulpit. You see, he actually experienced the life-changing effect of Jesus. Well, as the man tells his story, he paints a picture of insanity. He was homeless in every way possible. No family, no friends, no community, no church, no place to call home. He's not sure how it all started. Was it when he was a boy dabbling in things like horoscopes and Ouija boards? Was it watching demonic horror movies as a teenager? Was it from his experience going to palm readers and psychics in his 20s? Well, as he recounts his past, he can't pinpoint if it was one thing or a combination of many things. But one thing he does know is that something happened. Something happened deep inside of him, in his mind and in his spirit. And it changed him for the worse. He said he couldn't control his thoughts or his words. His words hurt others, and he began alienating people around him. Eventually, he couldn't control his actions. Anger and hate turned to violence, and he couldn't even hold a job. Eventually, his family kicked him out of the house. Other family and friends pushed him away because his behavior was so toxic. Even homeless shelters banned him from ever coming back. So he survived by living outside his hometown. He would come into town and eat whatever he could find at night, even dumpster diving behind restaurants and grocery stores. As bad as things were for him, they got even worse. Police officers tried arresting him multiple times, but he would escape from them. Even if law enforcement could get handcuffs on him, he would break them and run off. The police chief described him as having unnatural strength, kind of like that Marvel superhero, the Incredible Hulk. As the man continues telling his story about his life, he said his home eventually became a cemetery. There were very few people around to bother him or be bothered by him. He would wander through the headstones and on the graves as if they were his playground. He felt possessed by the very presence of Satan, or maybe even many other demons too. The spirits that possessed him would even cause him to become animal-like as he would howl at night. The tortuous pain was so extreme that he took sharp stones and cut his flesh, hoping to release the evil that he felt crawling underneath his skin. But this self-proclaimed evangelist told about the day he met a man that changed his life. The man's name was Jesus. Unlike any other person, Jesus was able to identify, diagnose his problem instantly. The man wasn't insane for no reason. He was actually possessed by a demon. And not just one demon, but hundreds and hundreds. Jesus not only diagnosed the problem, he fixed it. Jesus had greater power than a legion of demons. And he spoke words that released those demons from the man. Now, with a bath for the first time in months and a new set of clothes, he actually sat with that man called Jesus. Sanity had returned. He was completely changed inside and out. And being so incredibly thankful and grateful, the man strongly desired to follow Jesus for the rest of his life. But Jesus said no. No, I've got a better plan for you. Go back to your home. Go back to your family. Tell them everything I've done for you. Tell them of the mercy that I have shown to you. So the man did just that. But he didn't stop by just telling his family. He told everyone in the community and beyond about the great things Jesus did for him. And wouldn't you know that this man's story is still being proclaimed today? Because this man's story is the story we're about to read on the screen from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, starting with verse 1. And here's how it says it in the Bible. So they arrived at the other side of the lake, in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. The man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still a distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of that man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. Well, there happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Hey, send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Wow. So from those verses today, I've pulled out just a few applications and lessons I think we can share. And the first one is this. We live in a very fallen world, do we agree? And I mean very fallen. Sin has affected and infected humanity ever since Adam and Eve brought sin into the world. And in a fallen world, humanity suffers mentally just like it does physically. And many of the times what we do is we bring up physical ailments. Rarely do we bring up things like finances or relationships or spiritual things or mental things. And yet all that exists in a fallen world. So as we read the verses today, there's one thing I want to be clear just to set the stage. Not all mental illness is because of demon possession. There are many psychological and physiological causes for which the medical profession can help. Doctors, therapy, medications. Now, always, whether it's mental, physical, whatever, we should seek help from God and doctors as the Lord leads for mental or physical illnesses. So I just want to set that aside. Sometimes people might read this scripture and take it wrong. But that being said, don't expose yourself to Satan. Don't do things that would expose yourself to Satan. As I made up the story that I wrote there to introduce the scripture, I made up the story of Ouija boards and going to palm readers and horoscopes and things like that. Here's what it actually says in the Old Testament, and I didn't have this for Ron, so this is just from Deuteronomy chapter 18, but it says this: do not let your people practice, and then the Lord lists some things. Don't let your people practice fortune telling or sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or call forth spirits of the dead. That's what a Ouija board is intended to do. And it's not just the occult, things like that. There are other doors that we can voluntarily open to Satan through a sinful lifestyle. And there could be a list of many, but let me just share some of those doors that we can open, and that lets Satan come in, or it lets a demon come in. And next thing you know, he's inviting 1,999 of his friends. Things like pride, things like hate, or drugs, pornography, alcohol, adultery, greed, etc., etc. Those things open a door, and a demon can slip in. Another little point I think we can get from the scripture today. Remember that demon that actually screeched? He screeched this sentence. He says, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus?" People in our society would not admit to being demon-possessed in general. But like that very demon, it seems people in our society in general are screaming, why are you interfering with me? And they're saying that to God. They're saying that at the churches. They're saying that at Christian Values. Why are you interfering with me? Let me just live the way I want to live. Here's another point we can get from today's scripture. Satan, through demons, wants to bind and control people. And specifically, he does that through sin. I think the Bible speaks to that throughout, from cover to cover. But Jesus wants to give his people freedom. And he specifically does that by giving people freedom from sin. But he gives us freedom to choose too, doesn't he? I mean, we have free will. Adam and Eve had free will. They could have avoided sin, but instead they did sin. Does a person today still need help to keep from sinning? Well, the Bible tells us what to do. Confess and repent. Confess and repent. So even after becoming a Christian, there's still confess and repent so that we become more like Christ, and so that we shut those doors so that the demons, Satan himself, doesn't come in. Well, Mark gives us really great news in the story that he shares. And I'm going to share it with you. Jesus has complete power over demons. Let's don't forget this. Jesus has complete power over demons. And be it one demon or 2,000. Because remember, the story said that there were 2,000 pigs in this herd. And when Jesus met this demon in this man, he asked him his name, and the man said, "My name's Legion." Well, according to what I study, and maybe you've heard this too, the name Legion, the term Legion, was a military term for a certain number of people in a unit. And that and a legion of Roman soldiers could be several thousand men. Well, this demon is saying, My name is Legion because there's many of us. I'm guessing, if I just do the math real quick in my head, there must have been about 2,000 demons in this man, because you would think it'd take one demon per pig. So there had to be at least 2,000. Wow. The point is, Jesus has complete power. One demon, 2,000. Doesn't matter. He can get rid of them instantly. Here's another point. When our society sees the supernatural power of God, they want to force God to leave. Remember in the story where it said, the crowd pleaded with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. This is after they saw the pigs, you know, get drowned and all that. And you would think they would say, look at Jim. He's perfectly sane. Now, what happened to Jim? Well, he met Jesus. What did Jesus do? Well, he did this. Just spoke a word. All these things. Instead of saying, hey, why don't you come to our town? We might like you to do a revival, or just come to church with us, or come to the coffee shop and let's talk some more. Instead, the people of the community said, get out of here. They said, go away and leave us alone. Well, our society seems like when they see God and the power of God, they want to force God to leave. And society has already forced God out of a lot of schools, of a lot of government places and businesses of all kinds. And you know, strangely enough, I put this down. He seems to have forced, society has forced God out of some churches. On the sign outside, it says church. But when you come inside, they don't teach from the Holy Book. Or they just teach from this page or that page. They're not teaching the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help them God. And so it seems like God has been forced out of even some churches. This week, it's strange how God just puts something in front of me, even through the week, that fits into a message. There was a Facebook post, a meme, that said this, and it's perfect. Don't look for the nearest church to your house. Find the church closest to the Bible. Doesn't that say a lot? Let me say it again. Don't look for the church nearest your house. Find the church closest to the Bible. Now, Leah, I hope you have found both. You can't find a church closer, but I do hope that what we do here is that we're closest to the Bible. Am I perfect? No, by no means. But what we're trying to do from week to week is we open up the scripture and take the next verse and the next chapter and then the next book of the Bible when we're done with this. The last bullet point. When Jesus frees people from the chains of sin, and several of you could raise your hand. When Jesus frees people from the chains of sin, they should want to follow him. Welcome here. You're all followers. And they want to tell others what he's done for them. And I know many of you do that. And you don't have to do it from a pulpit. You can do it just from right where you are. When you're cleaning at the school. When you're at Joe's Transmission. When you're visiting Kroger. When you're at Boar's Head working next to somebody. Just tell him what Jesus has done for you. Free will. They can accept it, believe it, or not. Well, I'm going to close here with just a few words. Free from the chains. Our Bible story said that the demon-possessed man was, quote, put into chains and shackles, but he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. He was strong enough to break those physical chains, but only Jesus had the power to break the chains that bound him in every way. Jesus is the ultimate chain breaker. I started off with telling a story that I wrote to introduce the scripture. It was based on a true story, obviously. Well, let me end with reading just a portion of another story written by someone else. And it's a story that actually has been put to music. and it's been put to music, and they titled the song Chain Breaker. And it's by a fellow named Zach Williams. In an interview, Zach said, the song came from a place of wanting to reach people who had been struggling. And it speaks to believers as much as it does to non-believers. Because we all get to places in our lives where we get lukewarm. And we just kind of forget what God's done in our life. The song is very much the truths of who Jesus is. And so what I want to do to end, and then we'll actually sing whatever song Roy and Deb have planned. But here's some of the lyrics from that song called Chainbreaker. And then I would encourage you, if you get a chance on your cell phone, or have if you don't have that on your cell phone, have a grandkid that comes by, play this song for you. If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. The lyrics go on to say, we've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there is a better life. And then the chorus says this: if you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. So, you know, we're in one category or the other this morning. We're either free from the chains that Jesus has already broken. And I would ask you just to reflect on that the rest of today and this week. Thank God for having broken chains in your life. But if there's still something that's binding you, just know that there's a chain breaker. And you can be asking him, telling him about that this week. Well, God has laid another song on you guys' heart. What is it this morning?